It's awesome how we can sing the songs and talk about the resurrection and the fresh start and what God does. And then we hear stories like this to say that it actually happens in our lives, that the gospel encounters us and changes everything. The word hope means different things for different people. It's the anticipation that something can get better, because a lot of times in life, we just feel like this is just the way that it is and it's never going to change. I want to show you the gospel, but from a different perspective of why Jesus chose the cross. I think for some people in the world, we feel like, okay, the world is just a mess. And it is a mess. I mean, would you guys agree that it just feels like a lot of things are just falling apart? If you drive down the road and you look at the hospitals, they're all expanding. It feels like the more that we come out with advancements in medicine, the more diseases we have. I feel like on a consistent basis, and maybe it's just because of what I went through, but I feel like the word cancer is brought up almost every day. I feel like when it comes to sickness and when things that the doctors can't figure out, and as much advancements that they make, there's something new. And it's just, and the Bible tells us that this world is sick. It's got a disease. It's got a sickness. It's all the way from the garden, and death pass upon all men for all have sinned. And it's not getting better. We think, but where is the hope of that? And I think sometimes people, when they come to church, and maybe you're watching online or you're here in person today, and you're just like, I don't get excited about this hope because I don't see it in the world around us. It just doesn't add up. It's more frustrating when you guys sit there and say, oh, everything's getting better and God has an answer. And then you just go outside and just turn on the news and you'll see that it's a mess. I love how God has given us stories in the Bible, and Jesus always communicated truth in a visual to say, let me show you something, because we connect that way. Jesus taught in parables, he taught in stories, he taught in illustrations. Every time he did, he'd pick up something and be like, let me teach you a lesson, let me demonstrate it. And I think that the Easter story is an illustrated story given to us by God. It wasn't just something he was going to do. He says, I want the world to know hope. I want the world to see salvation. I want them to experience the love of God. I want them to fully grasp what grace is. So Jesus said, I'll show you. There's different parts of the Easter story that we gravitate towards. We know about the cross. We know about the tomb and those different aspects, those elements, those visuals that we have. But I think that's real, because we go through life understanding icons and logos and illustrations of things. Let me prove this to you. So I'm gonna do a little bit audience participation with this. Okay, you guys ready? So you got it. Is everybody awake? Everybody awake on? Okay, all right. I feel like you might be a little out of it. All right, you know, it definitely wasn't as early as the early service. We had one at 9, and for some of you, you think, oh, that wasn't gonna happen. And there's people right now that are still asleep that are sleeping in so they can be here at the noon. And so we're glad that we have the options for that. And if you're watching online, I want to challenge you. You can participate with this by just put your answers in the chat. So I'm going to put up some logos. And I want you guys to yell out either what it is or what it means. Okay, you guys ready? Because it symbolizes something, all right? Here's the first one. You guys ready? Here we go. Michigan. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? All right, I think we got mixed emotions in this, okay? For some, it's like, yeah, and for Buckeyes, we're just like, yeah, they're the ones that beat us the last, is it 2 or 3 years? Somebody's like, 3 years, okay. I'm just going to put that out there, 3 years. But that's not the focus. Let me put another logo out there, okay? You guys tell me, what is this one? Okay, they're a little different vibe, all right? Isn't it funny how when you see something, it doesn't even have words. It doesn't spell it out. It just symbolizes something. It's like, I've been to games. I wear that on my chest. I have it on my hat. I wear the logo with pride. I love what it represents. It means something. Let me give you another one. Let's see if this one resonates with you. What is this one? It's Nike. It's just a swoosh. It means, it's talking about being in sports and being an athlete and giving it your best or giving your all or being a winner. They want to put that on all the jerseys and things, that you can see that and know what it means. What's this one mean? McDonald's. All right. For some of you, it's like, don't show that. It means cheap food that you're going to get. Probably if you're going there for ice cream, you're going to be very disappointed. Okay. I just remember raising my kids, and you know, with McDonald's, it's like, let's go to Dairy Queen, let's go to McDonald's. They got ice cream for 89 and 99 cents at the time. It's like, then you get up to the window, and they'd say, our machine is broken, and the kids are crying, and you have to disappoint them. Then I blame it all on McDonald's, okay? It's all their fault. All right, then give me another one. Let's look at this one. What is this one? Some of you guys look forward to that smile every day on your front porch, okay? It's crazy how you can just see that and say, I know what that means. Actually, I bet you, how many of you actually know what that means? Raise your hand if you actually know what that means. All right, let me show you what it means. It has a deeper meaning to it. Amazon, the smile is actually an arrow that points that we cover everything from A to Z. That's actually what the logo is intended for. It has a deeper meaning to it, and they did it strategically. They wanted that symbol to be something to where we handle everything, and if you need something, I promise you can get it on Amazon. Okay, I'm getting packages this afternoon. You can get anything, everything from A to Z. It has significance. That symbol means something. It points to something, connects to us. Let me give you one more, and this won't be a surprise. Let me show you this one. What is this? And it's like, well, that's how Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He died on that. That paid the payment. But have you ever thought about why Jesus chose the cross? He says, well, he was the Son of God, the prophet, the teacher. He's claimed to be the Son of God. They rose up against him, and they killed him on the cross. Did you know that that's not how Jews died? If you go back in history, that's actually a Roman thing. It wasn't a Jewish thing. If you were to die as for the Jewish, they would, we know like the stoning of Stephen and you know, with even Paul was stoned and people like that, that was their mode of doing that. When they took the woman caught in adultery, what did they do? They didn't bring out a cross. They picked up stones. So it wasn't even a Jewish thing. So it's like, okay, it was a Roman thing. Did you know even with Romans, that wasn't the typical way that they would kill people? It wasn't the normal corporate punishment thing to do. They would actually die with the sword, and they would do it discreetly, and they tried to do it with honor, even though it was corporate punishment. The cross was actually an extreme way for people to die. It was a tool. It was a symbol during the time of crime. It was a symbol of depravity. If people saw the cross, they knew that it was the worst of the worst. It was something really bad. And then you think, why did Jesus choose the cross to die? It was a symbol. It represented something in their culture. If somebody was to die on the cross, and if they were even putting up the cross in the community and they knew that that was going to happen, people would know that it was about to be a public display of something. The cross was way different than other ways of dying. They would point to it. They would elevate it. They would make a big deal out of it. It was a community thing of showing the disgrace of somebody, the depravity of man, what was wrong with the person. People would walk by and discuss of this. It literally, with the symbol of it, if people saw it, it made them sick. If they saw that, it's kind of be like, I'm not trying to be crude or whatever, but I mean, it's like if we had an electric chair in here or whatever, and people would be like, I don't want to be around that. That creeps me out. Do you understand that the cross in their culture was the same thing? And people saw the cross, they didn't go, oh, that's so beautiful. We do today. Isn't that weird? Here it is today. We walk by, well, like I probably have one on my neck and I hang it in the church and I have it on the front of my Bible. But it did not mean anything good back in the Bible days. It represented death. Actually, it went deeper than this. The cross represented so many things. It represented your past. It represented sin. It was a way of displaying your failures. It would be like if you were convicted of something. You know, a lot of people, they'll like go from the courtroom and try to put their head down and put their hoodie over their face or whatever. They don't want to be recognized or put out where people are going to see it, but not the cross. The cross was they would strip them, put them up there and say, look at that. It represented the sin. They failed. They messed up. They're disgusting. This is the worst of the worst. This dude had a past. We're going to tell you all about it. It represented pain and suffering. They would see that and that people would know that it was, people didn't just die on the cross. people suffered on the cross. It would slowly take life. It would make everybody around them just cringe as they would walk past. It represented a struggle. The cross represented separation of how they would hang there by themselves. And for that family of that dad or whoever that messed up, they would rip them out of the family and nail them to the cross, representing the separation that they would have. The cross represented power. It took life. Can I tell you, people didn't walk away from the cross. It meant that you encountered a debt. You encountered something that was going to rule and reign and take over. When you lay down on the cross, nobody got up from crosses. It represented power. There's a second part of this, and that's the tomb. Now, you think about the tomb, and we think, oh, it's a beautiful thing, and we have it on the flyers and the things that we do at Easter. But it represents something. Let me illustrate it, because even today, we don't have a tomb like that. This is how we have a tombstone today. Now, you think about it. The only reason is that is it just represents something. Have you ever thought about that? It's the grave that is where the person is put to rest, but the tombstone just represents something. It represents that somebody has passed. It's like show respect that somebody has passed and somebody was put to or died and they're laid to rest in this spot. That's the whole point of a tombstone. Now I know in the Bible days they didn't have it like that. They would have like a cave and it was more like this where Jesus was buried. And they would put them in the cave and they would roll it over there and roll the stone over it and that would preserve the body and things like that. And that's what it was. But during that time, the tomb represented death. You think about it, as the Bible says that the wages of sin is death, or death pass upon all men, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. When this is finished, that was the next part of that. This takes life, that proves that it's gone. You talk about hopelessness, that's what it represented, to hopelessness. The cross took life, the tomb means it's over. It means the end. Because nothing can be done. I know in this world that we don't totally understand hopelessness because we're always reaching out for something to make it better. But when it comes to the grave, nobody looks up and just says, man, I hope this turns around. You know, at that point, it is over. It represents hopelessness. It represents that there's nothing you can do to make this better. So we got these symbols. I want you to know that it was just an accident that Jesus chose the cross. If you think about it, Jesus was like, when it came to the cross, it was the opposite of him. Jesus, even in the beginning of John, he said, I have come that you might have life. He talked about, I am life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was talking, and that represented death. The cross represented the opposite of who Jesus was. You know, the Bible actually talks about how death is the enemy of Jesus. The death is the enemy. He said the Bible talks about how one of the last enemies to be destroyed will be death. You know why? Because death separates us. And the spiritual death that we encounter in life, when the Bible says the wages of sin is death, it's not just talking about that we die in this world. It talks about a spiritual death that we're separated from God. Because of our sin, because of this disease that we have, that sin that corrupts us, that because of that, we can't go into heaven. And everyone's like, oh, I hope I get into heaven because I'm a good person. The problem is the disease that we have that keeps us out of heaven. If we all went to heaven with sin, it would no longer be heaven. It'd be corrupted like the world is here. When Jesus saw the cross, think about this. He saw it for what it represented. He knew the symbol of that. It's like, that is the enemy of why he came. That is, it represented the past. It represented the hurts. It represented the depravity of man. It represented the mistakes that we've made, the regrets that we have, the sorrow that we carry. It was a symbol in their culture of where Jesus was like, that's why I came, because I hate that. It goes deeper than this. Jesus chose the cross. You need to understand that it wasn't just an accident and coincidence, that Jesus chose the cross because of what it represented. And it goes deeper when we understand that the New Testament doesn't reference the cross as the cross. Have you ever thought of this? Let me read this for you. It says, who in his own self bare our sins, Jesus took our sins in his own body. Now listen to this. The next part says, on the what? You ever wondered why it references it as a tree? And you're like, oh, no. Of course it's made of wood. But why keep saying that he died on the tree? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, why is that? Do you understand that it all goes all the way back that the tree represented the failures of mankind? If you were to go back to the beginning of Genesis, where it all fell apart, do you know where it fell apart at? At the tree. God put two trees in the garden, the tree of one that he said not to eat of. And he said, if you do, the day that you will surely die. That spiritual separation from God. And man made a choice. Because life is about choices. God allows us to make choices in life. Every single day we make choices in life. God started it. If God said, you're going to love me no matter what, it wouldn't be love anymore. It would be a contract. We would be bound to that. We would be slaves to that. God gave us choice. But think about this. Stop for a minute and think. If Jesus was referencing and the Bible referencing, God referenced that as the tree. He was talking about, I want to address where man failed. I want to go back to where man messed up. So even deeper than past and sin and failure and all that stuff, let's go deeper than what the cross represented. That represents the hurts of this world, because that's what happened with the curse. You guys know about the curse. The Bible, Jesus, or God says in the Bible about how, and so the ground was cursed in Genesis because of what man did. And it brought forth thorns and thistles and brought forth pain, things that would bring pain into the world. You want to know why we have cancer? It's because of the curse of this world. Do you want to know why we have so much racism and division and fighting and backbiting and death and disease and all these other, we have anxiety that we deal with. And next Sunday, we're going to be addressing that topic of what the Bible says about conquering the anxiety in our lives, because it's just become part of our norm, because this world is cursed. Let me tell you, it's not just the world. This disease that we have is in all of us. We have a sickness of sin. And sometimes we don't necessarily feel that, like I've got sin in my life, but boy, we feel the effects of it. The guilt and the sorrow and the regret that we have, the heaviness that this makes us feel. It says in the second part of that verse, being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whom stripes we are healed. Do you understand the reason why he said the cross through Jesus brings healing? Because without the cross, it means brokenness. It means sickness. So when we say, does God get the pain of the world? Jesus says, yes, that's why he came. The cross represents everything that's wrong with the world and wrong in our lives and wrong in our relationships and wrong with our parenting. He says, I chose it because I know what it symbolizes. I know what it represents. And it's all of us. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore is one man, that's Adam, okay, that one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I'm here to tell you guys, I don't care who you are, watching online or in person, we all fall short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. We're all messed up. I'm just going to diagnose this with this right now. We all have the sickness of sin. Every single one of us. And the good that we do in our life does not offset the bad that we do in our life. There is no such thing of that. The cross represents this. But you say, Pastor Tony, where's the good news? Because that's not, remember, the story is illustrated by God. He said, I want you to understand this story. We know the Easter story that Jesus was the Son of God. He lived a perfect life. But I want you to think about this. I just, the application of this, if this is what represented all the hurts and the sin and death and spiritual separation between us and God, do you understand? Because of sin, that's why people go to hell and people get so upset. I don't want to hear about hell. God created hell for sin, okay? That's why it was, to get rid of it, to remove it from society, to destroy it, to punish it. That's where Satan is bound to go. This represents the wages of sin is death. It represents our destination of hell. But where's the hope? Do you understand? Because of what Jesus did, the Bible says that there is hope because Jesus is greater. Now, we talk about Jesus all the time, and we think about, like, he's so great, he's awesome, and he came to die on the cross for our sins. But think about the symbol. Act out the story. Visualize the story of what God's doing with this. Think about how great this is. I don't care who you were. You couldn't erase your past. You could not erase your past. You couldn't eliminate the mistakes that you made in your life. You could not go back and fix that sin issue in your life. There's nothing you could do that. The cross represented all those things in this world. The mistakes that you've made. Now think about this. I didn't fully understand this. I mean, I got it. But when you think of the symbolism of how great that is and how powerful sin is, but when Jesus came and they laid down the cross, you understand that Jesus, who knew no sin, the image of righteousness, the image of perfection, the image of God, Jesus was applied to our mistakes. Let me put it like this. Imperfection encountered the perfection of God. My mistakes encountered righteousness. The blood of Jesus, literally, I'm trying to be gross, but this is the way that it is. I think we try to make it pretty. But that cross, that symbol, was saturated with the blood of Jesus Christ. The thorns that he wore, we know that from the garden that represented the sin. It was something that represented the hurts. Those thorns were saturated with the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know why there's hope? Because as bad as our sin is in this world, it encountered something greater, which is Jesus Christ. And the problem is that we think that we can do life without Jesus Christ. You are not greater than your sin, which means that you cannot change your destination without Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of John, when Jesus was teaching, he was talking about his father, and he says that I lay down my life. He said, I'm pleasing the Father because I lay down my life. And then there's this other verse that he says, no one takes it from me. No one takes my life. I lay it down. It was a choice that he said, I've come to conquer that which hurts you. I've come to conquer sin. And lay it out. Just make the list of whatever it is in your life, the past, the mistakes, the issues that you have, the addictions that you have that you can't overcome. God says, I'm coming to tackle those things. He came to be the covering because Jesus is greater. There's hope because of Jesus changes everything. Now listen to this. The whole point is that he died on the cross. See the symbolism. Look at the message of where God is preaching this message. He says, yeah, it's messed up. I'll take it. Put it on me. Let me die. Let me cover it. Let me let my power encounter that power. Let me show you that my power is greater than that. They took Jesus off the cross and he died. He was 100% God and 100% man. That the fact that he died proved that in his humanity that Jesus bled and Jesus died. He was our substitute. And they put him in the grave, and you say, well, how does that give us hope when they buried Jesus in the grave? Think about what that represents. Everything that represents was buried, put to rest, covered, dealt with. We talk about when somebody died, well, they rest in peace. You understand that the past me now is resting in peace. It died with Jesus Christ. It was buried. But the beauty of what happens, that this doesn't happen. Death comes in and it stays there, okay? But not with Jesus. Jesus changed everything because death went in and life came out. You say, that's impossible. Not with Jesus. Jesus changed everything. And the idea is that we can have a new life in Jesus Christ, that the old things are passed away. My mistakes, my failures in life, my sin record is laid to rest and buried. But Jesus came out to say that I've conquered. He conquered death, hell, and the grave. He even says, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, hell, where is thy victory? It's swallowed up in the victory of Jesus Christ. You want to prove, let me prove to you how much Jesus changes our lives and gives us hope in a hopeless situation. This now, I explained to you how gross and disgusting this is. Literally, it's a torture device. It was meant to like make a spectacle out of your failures. Do you know what we do with the cross today? Does everybody get where I'm going with this? How many of you right now have one hanging around your neck right now? Bunches of you. We have them hanging in our houses. We have them on the front of our Bibles. We decorate with torture devices. You say, well, wait a minute. That makes it sound all gruesome. Pastor Tony, I would never do that. I would never do that because that represents hope. Yes, because Jesus took that which was disgusting and made it into hope. The whole cross is a symbol that God gives hope. He changes everything. He changes everything. Jesus even said, I am the resurrection and the life. I give life to that which is dead. And here's the thing. We are dead in our trespasses and sins. We're dead. You can't fix yourself. That's dead. Dead people can't fix anything. It's through salvation that we're made alive in Christ. Now, here's the best part of all of this. I'll tell you that Jesus is greater than our sin. He proved it on the cross. The empty tomb proved that we have a second chance, that God makes all things new. He changes everything. But the best part is, he offers us hope. You think about, for the wages of sin is death. Man, we point to that, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If people complicate this all the time, saying, well, I know that's why I'm here on Easter and I'm going to try to get my good deeds and all this. You understand that none of that you do could substitute for what he did on the cross? Never. Never. If we were to die for our sins, we would go straight to hell. You know why? Because sin is greater than you. That's why it had to be Jesus, because Jesus is greater than sin. The Bible explains this in Romans 10, 9 and 10. And I want you to think about this verse, what this verse means in Romans 10, 9 and 10. When he talks about, for that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart. We leave that part all the time. Do you know how often we just say, well, just say this prayer, repeat this prayer. We do that with kids, just repeat this prayer. I'm not saying that it's wrong to say a prayer. You should be saying a prayer. But let me tell you where salvation actually comes from. The Bible tells us, that thou shalt be saved happens when we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead. That is salvation. There's no other way to it. There's no other way about it. Salvation comes when I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, that he is greater. I believe that he was buried and that he rose again. I believe that he is the hope, and I ask God to be my hope. The next verse says this, Romans 10:10, for with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. It's not about all the things that we put this emphasis on. Man, if you've been baptized, praise God for that. Man, you go to church, you help the poor and all that. But let me tell you, it's with the heart that we believe unto righteousness. It's a heart change. And a heart change brings a life change. That's when conviction comes, when your eyes are opening and think, man, that's what I'm missing and that is wrong and that's what Jesus did. And God, I ask you that. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's as simple as that. Because I'm telling you now, one day we'll all stand before God. One day this is going to be over. One day there will be no second chances. There's not going to be any redos or God, I'm sorry, or I get it now. Today is the day of salvation. There's a reason that we have Easter services like this, and people will come and be like, I'm just coming out of tradition. But I'll tell you, today you receive the true meaning of Easter, and that is a message of hope.